am I a person who both knows how to ask for forgiveness and somebody who knows how to extend forgiveness? But despite the Bible's teaching about this, it's not necessarily a practice.
One of the books I've been reading is by a philosopher at UC Riverside, Maisa Cherry. One of the points that she makes is, particularly in public settings, let's say a white racist shooter kills African-Americans like at Mother Emanuel Church, as we saw. Often reporters will ask the victims, can you find it in your heart to forgive? And this is actually putting way too much pressure on victims way too soon. And that sometimes when we ask people, will you forgive me? We put pressure on somebody for a step that they may not yet be willing to take, as opposed to leaving them more space with it.
Well, Everett's idea that it's a gift, the gift of forgiveness, sort of recognizes that maybe it takes time. So it would be more humble, again, to use your word, you know, ask about forgiveness and are you ready, or is that something that you could consider, or I would like to really have you forgive me, but I understand that that might take time.
Hey, you probably noticed from the day in the corner that this video was filmed a while ago, but we liked it so much we wanted to bring it back to your attention. Let us know what you think in the comments. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel or head over to becomenew.com for more content like this. Let's get back into it.
Hurting is natural. And we saw how natural last time. Just when we get into the bird brain, we want to lash out, we want to attack, withdraw. So we're talking with Dr. Rick. And this is really about how to pursue reconciliation, not just when it's been a major estrangement for years, but all the time, every day, whenever there's little dings and nicks in relationships, which happen a lot. And Rick has a little acronym, CRAFT. And we talked last time about when things get real emotional, real intense, cool off so that you can get conversational, talk about something calmly and not reactively.
Yes.
And then, Rick, the next step in that process, R, is?
The next one is to recall what happened for me in the conflict. And that's really kind of a fancy way of saying use I messages. When if you hurt me, John, then I would want to try to go back to the incident, again, in that calm state and talk about And again, I want to talk about it in such a way that it will matter to you what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so if I talk about, hey, John, when you said this or when you did this, this is how it went down for me. This is how that landed on me. And you may or may not be able to connect with that. But again, that'll be partly my, you know, it's in contrast. If I sort of say it like, this is what happened. If I recall it in such a way that I'm forcing you to remember it in exactly the same way, it'll probably get your dander up and you won't be able to hear it as much as if I'm more humble, again, in that calm state and recalling this is what happened for me. And then if I do that well, that will then lead into the next one, which is apology.
So just to pause there for a minute, it's striking how often humility occurs in thinking about forgiveness and reconciliation.
Yeah.
And when I get angry, anger's kind of a form of power. So I want to claim the right to omniscience. And the way that I see it is the way that it actually is. It's more of a humble thing. Kind of like when Paul says, speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
Try to be honest, but I'm trying to do it in humble love. That's super helpful.
Really well put, yeah. And if that's done well, it leads naturally to the repentance part, or where the AI stands for apologize.
Mm.
And again, you can do that in a couple of ways. In my office, I'm always talking about one form of apology is apology for impact, where I don't really think I did anything wrong, but I do acknowledge that what I said, what I did wounded you or hurt you. And that's an okay form of apology. I don't reject it. It's not as good. Again, I remember doing a talk with you once where you talked about the difference between, oops, I didn't mean to hurt you, but you were hurt. Okay, and so that matters. And then more genuine repentance, where I own, and you've been talking about this in some of your lessons on forgiveness, where I own, maybe I was distracted, maybe my ego was at work, that in some way I sinned against you, And that's going to lead, it's really clear to me, when that takes place in my office, when that takes place in my personal life, that's a beefier form of apology. And I just can't get away from how critically important this is. Do you know how often people will say in my office, he or she has never apologized. They've never expressed sorrow for what, you know, what they did. So I know we're speaking to a broad audience here, but I guarantee you that lots of people listening would have, you know, personal storylines like that with regard to apology.
Again, there's kind of a humility piece because I got to swallow pride and not just admit that I was wrong, and that's where the intern work, I think, comes in, but to say I had bad motives.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, looking at a number of situations over the years that might involve governing boards, where they might make a public statement and it would say something like, you know, we erred here or we made a mistake here, but our intentions were good. And if you look at it from the perspective of people that were hurt, often it's like, really? Like, was there any fear in your intentions? Was there any place where you wanted to placate people or try to be pleasing to people or look? And so when I look at myself, then I think I want credit for good intentions just because I wasn't trying to be Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
But to acknowledge, you know what? There's probably rarely are my intentions pure.
That is a deep issue. I mean, I generally like the idea that intention doesn't always equal effect. You're actually taking that idea a step further and saying, hey, maybe some of the time my intentions aren't so benevolent.
Yeah.
And I feel convicted by that right now, just when you say that.
It's a harder statement to make.
It
but,
is.
You know, I think for sure for me, when I look at myself, I think I'm a pastor. And part of what's been sobering in this season of life is to look at how impure my intentions were, even though I was supposed to be trying to be working for God. So, and there's something about
kind of like the idea you've been saying, we're not necessarily always doing the best we can, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And, if
not
another
always.
Person acknowledges a bad intent, I find myself drawn to that person. It's like,
so do I.
Really being open. So it's not like oh, you had a bad intention. You're evil. I'll never have anything to do with you again.
Yeah. 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 That's really well put.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do we have time to go on to the next two, do you think?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so the next one is to forgive, and that's really been the lesson that you've been doing with us these last many weeks, is that after an apology, to really think about and concretely in your relationships, your close relationships, am I a person who both knows how to ask for forgiveness and somebody who knows how to extend forgiveness? And I'm really interested in the fact that despite the Bible's teaching about this, it's not necessarily a practice. That's what I think the real value of your whole lesson on forgiveness has been to us, John, is to really kind of raise that in issue, not only with deep hurts, like you've said, but also with ongoing daily kinds of things. Are we sort of people who practice forgiveness? Do we extend it?
Let me ask you a question on that one. One of the books I've been reading is by a philosopher at UC Riverside, Maisha Cherry. And she writes a lot about racial issues, also African-American, and about the importance of being angry at injustice. And one of the points that she makes is, particularly in public settings, let's say a white racist shooter kills African-Americans like at Mother Emanuel Church, as we saw. Often reporters will ask the victims, can you find it in your heart to forgive? And this is actually putting way too much pressure on victims way too soon. And that sometimes when we ask people, will you forgive me? Or I want to ask you forgiveness. We put pressure on somebody for a step that they may not yet be willing to take, as opposed to leaving them more space with it or saying, I would like you to forgive me, or I would hope that you could forgive me. Is that the sort of thing? Is that more of a public kind of concern? Does it come up much in relationships? What do you think about asking for forgiveness?
It completely comes up in, I would say, It's, well, Everett's idea that it's a gift, the gift of forgiveness, sort of recognizes that maybe it takes time. So it would be more humble, again, to use your word, to sort of, you know, ask about forgiveness. And are you ready? Or is that something that you could consider? Or I would like to really have you forgive me, but I understand that that might take time. It's sort of like the idea, I suppose, of cheap forgiveness, right? That forgiveness is not cheap.
Yeah.
It sometimes takes a process, and
it does.
In some cases, it takes years, even takes years. Yeah. So the last one, John, so is T. The T stands for talk about the story in such a way that you can grow and you can learn. And so to use the injury, the wound, the conflict in such a way that you will be able to learn and kind of move forward. So that might be like, I could use iMessaging, I could show more empathy, I could start softer when I'm trying to talk about something important, I could become a better listener. I mean, there would be a whole list of things that I would say I've been able to develop and grow by failing at them and by having conflict with somebody, and that repair and recovery is kind of how I figure that stuff out. And hopefully I'm better at conflict as time goes by. So that's what I mean by that T, you know, just kind of learning from the problem.
I like that a lot. So the idea there is that's part of the authentically hopeful aspect of conflict, to say, actually, not pleasant to go through, but because we have, I can be more self-aware, I can learn more things about myself and recognize here's something that I want to change. And next time around, I remember thinking, partly because I think about you having a conversation last week where start softer was very top of mind. And I had been brooding over something.
I remember that. Yeah, that's right.
Through the night. And that's then exactly when I woke up, it was like, oh, I got it to be my best self. Now I got to start soft. And that was super helpful. So that kind of, I don't want to leave this without growing a little bit and learning from it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right. Very good. Yeah.
So the word is craft, and you can think about each part of it and put it into practice today. Whenever you get a chance, don't do it on your own. Remember, we are not just people who offer forgiveness. We are people who have a deep, deep need to be forgiven, deeper than we have any idea. And sometimes we have friends, and Rick, you're one of those for me, who reminds me that I am a forgiven person. And then we get to offer that with each other. Rick, thanks very much for helping us with this.
Great, John. You bet.
Hey, if you enjoyed that video, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John Ortberg or Become New. You can also head to our website, becomenew.com, where we have a bunch more resources you might be interested in, like free downloads, books, and a library of videos for you to explore, learning how to grow spiritually one day at a time. If you've got a prayer request, you can text it to us at 855-888-0444, and you'll receive a written response from someone on our team who will pray for you. You can also text the word BECOME to that same number to receive text alerts whenever we drop a new video. Glad that you're here, and we'll catch you next time.